This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you know you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, unlike the Owls, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So there's only one thing left to say. What's everybody having? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means you'll get some tasty rewards later on. And between you and me, if you order just before kickoff, you can get it just in time for half time, but I've not told you that. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. See you later.
Sport. Powered by fans.
Puts it in the air. Aidan Flint wins the goal.
It's still with Lee Gregory. He's in the box. Tries to screw it. Is it going to be there? Yes! Oh my word!
The Wednesday week. Hello, good evening, and welcome to the episode 399 of the Wednesday week. Now, your eyes aren't deceiving you. Dan hasn't put on a bit of weight. It's me, Ash, hosting tonight. Dan's having a little break, like he always has one. Tonight, I'm joined by Blair, John and Holly to talk all about Bristol City. How are we doing, ladies and gents?
Great. This is the first time I've been on after a win. Get in. Come on.
it's just how the rotor falls, Holly, obviously.
Yeah.
We don't plan this. Blair, how are we?
Superb. Superb.
Don't lie. He's feeling a bit under the weather, everyone. Blair is. He's feeling a bit under the weather.
But I've got a virus of unknown origin, which slowed down the world about 2 years ago.
But you're powering on. John, how are we?
Yeah, good. Very happy with that result over the weekend. Does give you a nice buzz, doesn't it, over the weekend, and softens the Monday blues a little bit. So, yeah, happy with that.
It really does. Do you know what? I text every single person in my phone book saying, what are you doing on Saturday night? Not a single person wanted to go out. But when we've won, everyone gets that message.
I tell you what, I'll not lie, I wish I didn't go out Saturday night. So as always, everyone joining us live, you can put a comment in, ask us a question, tell us your thoughts and anything Wednesday, well, not even Wednesday related, anything goes, should we say that. Already now, evening ladies and gentlemen, that's nice, isn't it?
Good evening.
Good evening. I'll put this one in as well. We've got up the champion Wendy's La Bosch, so that's it, and a bit of A up. So we're all good. We're all started. So Bristol City came to S6 on Saturday. Obviously, we're in cracking form after a 2-0 win against Millwall. How are you feeling about the fixture? Because I looked at the fixtures that other teams around us. And they've got pretty hard away fixtures. And we thought, we're at home, Bristol City. I know they're a bit of mid-table, aren't they, at the minute. But looking at it, Blair, what was your thoughts on, obviously, Bristol City coming and your initial fears?
Well, they was on the proverbial beach, aren't they, Bristol? They're not going up. Bristol City, they're not going up, not going down.
Yeah. Don't say that.
I don't want to get smashed like that Sky Sports what's it called, called Sheffield United Sheffield, and she's been absolutely destroyed, hasn't she, on Twitter. Bristol City. They're not going down, not going up. So what they've got nothing to play for. So it's one of those, sometimes they can be brilliant and sometimes they can just not be arsed. And I was a bit meh about it. I thought we could win. I was confident we could win. When I saw Millwall Southampton away, I thought, right, we've got to capitalise on that. And then how they beat Southampton, I'll never know, because they were crap over last week. Really crap. So I was sceptical. I didn't know what Bristol City were going to turn up.
John, how were your thoughts? You saw obviously Bristol City coming. Initial thoughts about obviously what it was, one of those where I think a lot of us were saying must win. They all are at the minute, aren't they? Got to say.
Yeah, 100%. I think even Danny said it himself, isn't it? It's like before that game, it's like 13 cup finals. So it's the mentality we've got to have now. It's roll up your sleeves time. It's definitely, all hands on deck. But yeah, I thought, I said it on last week's pod, I was confident about the game on Saturday against Bristol City. I did forecast 2-0. It was ended up being 2-1. So, but yeah, I did fancy us to win after coming back off Millwall. Thought it'd get a good performance. Confidence, unchanged team, as we'll go on to speak about. But I thought we could do them. I didn't think they offered a lot as the game transpires, and we'll be talking about that. But I was confident of a victory. Echo what Blair said, we didn't get the results off the pitch elsewhere, which was very frustrating, but it's football, isn't it? Championships, that kind of league, you can never predict it. Bottom teams can beat top teams, and teams you expect to win at home on big long unbeaten runs go and cock up and let other teams win. So, but yeah, I was confident of the victory, and so it proved. Yeah,
Holly, how do you feel? Bristol City coming to F6. I know you're always confident.
Well. Everybody kept saying, yeah, well, they lost to QPR, but I think they beat Southampton before that. So I think I was less confident than everyone else. I'm on a bit of an emotional roller coaster at the moment. I don't know what to think.
So as John mentioned earlier, we'll have a look at the starting lineup. So it was an unchanged team from the Millwall game. So I'm led to believe, and please in the comments, put, I think this is the first time that Danny Rule has kept an unchanged team. Beadle in net, and then there's Valentin, Palmer in Ekwe, Bernard and Johnson. Then a midfield of Pervada, Bannon, Volks and Masaba. And Ugbo up top. The goal machine, Ugbo, up top.
Bowen.
Boing, you muppet. Not Boing. Bowen. It's Boing. Boeing's a bloody head.
That's nice. Look, I've only seen the clip of some lads jump up at Millwall doing it. That's all.
Boeing.
Oh, I think we should say Boeing. It sounds better.
Boeing. All right, yeah. I don't think that works, mate.
We asked for an Ugbo song, and I feel like that ain't it.
Yeah, we'll
I'm not a fan.
Yeah, we need to get that. We need to get that one down. So starting line unchanged. What we obviously unchanged. It's great for the team, and obviously Danny Rule has that settled. I'd say it's a settled team now for him. Holly, what do you think to the start from the game, Bristol City?
I think he's previously like depends on how the game's going as to what changes he makes and stuff. I guess he probably thought similarly to us that. You sort of don't really know what you're going to get from a middly team, do you? If they're quite inconsistent, which the last two results might say that they are. So we're just going to play to our strengths rather than do whatever. I think he's sort of tried to change based on who we're playing before. And this time he's just, right, this is what we're going to do and then see how they react to it, which worked in our favour, I guess.
Yeah, 100%. That's what I think. He's took his time getting there, hasn't he? Thinking instead of reacting to the opposition, I think he's going, look, this is how I want to, or Sheffield Wednesday want to dictate the game. Do you agree with that, Blair? Do you think that that's something that he's looking at now?
Well, I mean, it's weird because a couple of weeks ago, we was all like confused how Mesaba is just completely just a shell of the player he was in December when he had that great win in December. And then Gassama was like the shining light for the team. Every time he was like the only outlet and really encouraging on the ball, and everyone wanted him to get the, and everyone just thought, wow, this is the player we've got from PSG, and Masaba's not dealing with the competition. But then he's changed it to sort of suit Mesaba more, and with Palm being on the right hand side of the three now, it gives Valentin the license to use his pace going forward. So
I think we've struggled when we've had both on, though, haven't we? When we've had both Mesaba and Gassama, I don't think that works.
We've got a shite Lampard Gerrard situation going on here.
I don't know. They're both young, hungry players.
I don't really like them. They're not Lampard and Gerrard, that's what I'm saying.
They're ours.
They are ours. John, I mean, it's good to see Ugbo up front. He looks like he is now the preferred guy. He's the one that's starting. Impressed?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we cancelled his loan somewhere else to come to us, didn't he? And his previous record wasn't prolific by any stretch. But so we thought he was a bit of a squad player while we were still rumoured to be going after this 30k a week striker, which never happened, did it? But and also chasing that American that spent more time in Mercury than anywhere else, didn't they, really? But and that didn't happen either. So we're all kind of thinking, oh, well, you know what, we didn't get this striker, and now there's this free agent market. Might we have a look at that? Names like Dwight Gayle getting thrown about. All of a sudden, Ugbo's took up the challenge and said, you don't need anybody, pal. I'll be that striker. And I think he scored more goals, hasn't he, in January than other championship strikers, I believe. And so yeah, he's fitting the mold great. The side is about as close as he can get right now to a settled 11, with the exception of maybe Momo Diabe, and dependent on your opponent, because Momo does offer that, you know, that break up defensive midfielder quality that we might not always get with Volks. Is okay at that as well, but I think Momo, that's his moxie, that's kind of his deal sort of thing. So yeah, and working well on the flanks, going back to what the guys were saying earlier about Gassama and Mesaba, you can see we're not, you know, we're letting them express themselves on the pitch. They are very attacking players. They will run at players sometimes too much, and they will lose the ball, but you'll never want to take that aggression out of them, and that, you know, that that will to get forward and put defenders on the back foot, because nobody, you know, as a defender will tell you, they don't like people running at them with pace. It's not what they want. So I think Ugbo is absolutely on fire at the moment, isn't he? And long may it continue.
Just on the Gassama and Mesaba, we've had a Paul McCarthy's put, not sure Windass walks back into the team when fit.
This is the first time he's had proper competition in that position, though, isn't it? So let's see how he reacts to that position, reacts to it, because at the moment, Pervader is just fantastic, isn't he?
The thing with Windass is he's great while you've got him, but you've never got him for long. It's like a year, three games, and then he's gone for six, hasn't it? So it's a reliability issue at times. Good player when we've got him, but how long are you going to have him for? And right now, we need everybody. We can't afford, you know, players to come in for a game and then not see him again. And, you know, so I agree with the player. Pervader is a lovely player to watch. He's got great ball skills, dribbling. I said to my mate, I mean, I'd had a few, and I don't even know if it made sense, but he looks like he could change his trousers in telephone box, that player. I don't know what it is. He can just weave around.
He's Superman. He's Superman.
Yeah, yeah. He's this guy that can just wriggle out of everything, anything. He's got lovely, lovely touch and dribbling ability. He's a joy to watch. I mean, you always get that from opposition fans, don't you, when you sign one of their players that they're going to let go on loan or they don't want anymore. Ah, he's rubbish, he's this, he's that, but I tell you what, he was a Marcelo Bielsa signing, so that guy knows talent when he sees it. And he's certainly doing the business for us right now.
He is. First goal, Holly, seems it was your neck of the woods as well, right in front of you. What do you make of the first goal? I thought it was a well-worked team goal.
We're really good down the side in front of us. And because I haven't got the view that you guys have got, so I can see everything. I saw all the good play and then the cross, but actually, it seemed like a really good cross. But Ugbo still had quite a lot to do once it got to him because it was behind him, so he still had to take a touch and then hit it with his other foot. So it wasn't that easy of a chance, even though it were decent build up play. I thought Ugbo did really well actually, and then celebrated in front of us. Obviously, came to his favorite play, his favorite fans.
Scotch 24, Ugbo touch and finish was a thing of beauty. I mean, it was a great, like I say, it was a great team goal. And I think the cross came in, it came in a bit fizzed, a bit behind him. So he did have a lot of work to do.
But I'm not convinced any of his other strikers would have scored it.
Ooh.
No, 100% not. The last striker who scored a goal,
maybe Fletcher.
I'd go with Fletcher. Well, Steve.
No, I don't think he weren't spinning that quick.
it was, and it's great, obviously, continuing his goal-scoring form. It's like John said earlier, he's now the top, let me get this in English, is the top-scoring January signing in the whole league.
He's nearly our top scorer in February, and he only signed in January. He's had 2 months to catch
up. That's wonderfully depressing, isn't it?
It is wonderfully depressing.
We weren't back in January, was he?
Pardon?
We weren't back in January, were we? We had a shit transfer window.
It's not looking so shit now, is it, Blair? No. It's not looking too bad with the players that we've signed. I know there's been an interview out. Danny Rule did one in a German newspaper, and it's come out that he wanted a couple more extra players, which I think we could all agree with.
I think every manager says that, doesn't he?
But yeah, you've got to work with what he's got. January's done. That's it. He can only work with what he's got now. We can't go on about him not signing, being backed, or anything like that. So it's a bit of a mute point now. We've got to just back the guys we've got now, and whoever plays.
When was the last time we had an informed striker? Like, you know, and people went, oh, God, he's good.
Gary Hooper.
Better watch out for him.
Cameron Jones.
Exactly. Eight years.
It's a
position we've struggled, isn't it, over the seasons. Whichever end of the table we're competing at, it has been a bit of a bone of contention, hasn't it, finding
five
that striker
goals in four games,
that can get 20 goals and that. Yeah,
he had a couple more chances as well. To be fair, I really thought he was going to get a hat trick.
Scotch 24's put Gary. I know he's put Medine. he put Gary Marine, which
Gary Medine. 12 years ago, that wasn't it. Like,
well,
in League One.
You are talking some years. After a good 20 minutes, I mean, we went 1-0 ahead, and I felt, I don't know if you can all agree, everyone watching, that I didn't really think Bristol City offered a great deal.
Fiedel making any saves.
He made one save, actual diving save. Obviously,
and then we played one off at line, I think.
Did we clear one off line? Oh, I didn't know that. See, I was... I'd had a busy day.
You were ready. You were ready for your night out.
It was a corner. And what are we like at set pieces?
Shite.
Exactly, Blair. Shite. Yeah.
Well, I assume that's why he started playing Ehekwa, because he loves to head a ball.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But
I mean, it was a great header.
There was no challenge on the header. No challenge on the header.
No challenge, but it was a great header. The amount of times, how many times have we seen a free header go miles wide? In a Wednesday shirt, it's a fair place to him getting on target, but
it was. Go on, John.
Just gonna say, I thought that's the only, like you said, Ash. I thought that was the only threat they posed. Really, was they had quite a few corners in that match. I think I don't know the actual stats, but it seemed like they got a lot of corners in that game.
Yeah, they had a lot of.
Funny you should say that. Funny you should say that, John.
Oh,
there we go.
They had a lot of luck. They got down our left hand side quite a lot. Meant Johnson's gone a bit forward, but once they got out there, they didn't do nothing with it. So.
Yeah, they did try some efforts from distance and stuff, and like you said, the shots on target. They only had two, which one will be the header, and one will be the shot that I mentioned that Beadle saved, and then he did very very little. 15 shots for Wentz. The possession, I didn't. He's got 52 for Bristol and 48 for us. Bristol City. I'm gonna have to stop doing that. Sorry. But I didn't feel it was like that at all. I thought we had lion's share. I thought we looked a lot more comfortable on the ball, apart from the last 10 minutes.
I was going to say, that last 10 minutes, weren't it? We had back 10 for that last 10 minutes.
Yeah,
so, it would be skewed because of having a man off, weren't it? So,
yeah. I mean, like we said, the game, they covered, they equalised, obviously. Very disappointing, but what I did like to see was it didn't deter us. Did it that the crowd was still there, which fantastic, 26,000 just over, I think it was, there again. With Bristol City not bringing that many, 1500.
Straight after the goal, our fans started cheering again straight away, yeah. Didn't they? Trying to get back.
Noticed up. That, yeah, really definitely.
Yeah, which it can be said that's not happened that many times this season, no. But I think there must be obviously something in the fan base now, even in the still precarious position we're at, that do look like, well, we're Liam. Sorry, Liam's right.
Oh,
sorry,
yeah.
Liam. 26,000 plus a bunny and a big bear, and that wasn't me and Dan. I mean, we did push on for the second, and obviously Blair. It did come by. Yep. A great bit of instinct striker play, hang on, Blair, or a lucky, I'm going to stick my head anywhere in front of the ball.
Well, against Hudson, the thing is, he's scoring. I spoke to a Blackburn fan yesterday.
Lucky.
Yeah, and he basically think we're going to stay up, and I basically said, like, we've got this informed striker, and he's scoring all the sort of goals Jordan Rhodes scored for you. And then that's why everyone wanted to sign Jordan Rhodes. Because if you look at his five goals he scored, you know, it's none of them are like pretty. He's not like taking on four players and smashing it in top corner. They're all just one touch finishes. He's just in the right place. He's got that instinct and that poacher. What costs millions and millions of pounds usually to get. And we've got him on loan from a League Two, a League Two side. So it's Cardiff couldn't even use him. It was weird. And against Huddersfield, someone had a shot, and he stuck his foot out and sort of directed it towards their goal. And he did that again against Bristol City. He just flicked his head at it, and it just hit it, and it went in. So fair play.
If he doesn't go for it, the keeper's committed to Johnson's shot, aren't he? So he might have got saved. So his instinct makes the goal, really.
Oh, of course.
It's just instinct. It's brilliant. He's fantastic.
Yeah, I've not seen a behind the goal shot of Johnson's shot, so I don't know how wide, if it was on target, if it's wide or what. But they say that with defenders, don't they? If you're defending, just get some on it, and if it deflects in and goes in, then obviously
it caught me completely by surprise.
Yeah,
me too. Because Johnson kind of whips it in quite. You know, quite some force on that.
Oh, yeah.
Cross come shot. And then Ugbo obviously got his head to it, but I was a bit unsighted. So on first glance, I thought it were an own goal. But obviously replay showed that Ugbo just managed to sneak in and get his head on it. And it were a welcome goal, that, because, like you said, the crowd had got up so the crowd had...
Oh, put some batteries in yourself, John. what we're going to say? He's gone, he's done. The second goal came
great
at
point, John.
Half time.
Great point.
Yeah, everyone agreed with you, John. Everyone agreed with you.
Comments are going wild for it.
The second goal came at obviously the best time to score, just before the break. And I thought on the balance of play, I don't know if you guys agree, and everyone, is well worth it. I think we were well worth the first half to go in. Agree, Blair? You look a bit yes, no, maybe?
Yeah, no. We deserve to be in front that first half. They're fighting like beavers, as Chris Kamara once famously said. fair play to him. I think, Danny, what's impressed me most about what this manager has done is... just how he's picked them up off their arse because they were dead and buried, and how he's got them believing and fighting for the badge. Because a lot of people were saying, you know, 15 games ago, but they weren't bothered, they weren't asked for the badge, they're all out of contract end of the season, so they don't care. And how he's got them like believing, and Paul Valentin dropping to his knees like Semedo yeah. 12 years ago today against those dirty pigs. It was just brilliant, wasn't it? Just brilliant.
On that point though, like that's what we all wanted. We all wanted, if we're going to go down, we wanted them to just show that they actually were asked about it and just not make us look daft that we looked like in the first part of the season. And Valentin dropping to his knees, like it meant that much. He didn't even get the assist, did he? But it was like he went in the build up to play, and even Ugbo has put on Instagram like Uggs is back or something. So obviously he's had a bit of a tough time of it before coming to us. But if that feeling in amongst the players is a bit special, you never know.
I imagine, don't get, and this will shock none of you, that I've not played football at any sort of level. But I imagine that any sort of good feeling in the, because we've all seen on the inside match day as well, haven't we, that the music is blaring, they've got that, and they just come across that they are all together. I know it's workplace and everyone says all the stuff about footballers, but for an outsider looking in, it does look like Blair said, it does look like Danny Ruhlers has instilled something, a fighting spirit, and something that they can grab onto. And all right, then if you lose 3 on the bounce, 4 on the bounce, it does kick it out of you, no doubt. But if you win, like we've won the last 2, we've got a great chance coming up as well of a few games that still look winnable. All right, then maybe Leeds, but we'll get a draw of Leeds anyway. But on the point about Valentin, Dan's put, evening, special mention to Paul Valentin. He's coming for it and bounce, showed his pace at time. Coming leaps and bounds. Sorry, didn't see it there. He has. I totally agree, and that's one of the points I wanted to make. I think over the last 4 or 5 games, I think he has been one of the most improved players.
He did an interview, didn't he, where he said that he wasn't enjoying it at start of season for various reasons, not just football, like he can't understand anybody and all kinds of stuff. And if you've listened to the interview, his English is brilliant. He didn't even speak English when he came here. And that he said that the players have been helping him and stuff as well. So he actually made the point that he's enjoying it now where he wasn't before. So,
yeah. Paul says, yeah. Learning English clearly means a lot to him. Chance being better week on week. And I totally agree. And I personally thought, and I don't know what you think, but I thought he was going to be one of the players that was going to, once Cisco left, I thought he was going to be the one of the ones that went downhill, because he seemed to be a Cisco player, a Cisco signing, and I thought that he'd really struggle. But turns out
he was scapegoated early on, that lad.
Yes.
He got fucking crucified for no reason, I think.
I watched him when we played Middlesbrough at home, watched him in the first half. He was electric.
Yeah, brilliant.
But then he gassed after about 55 minutes, and I think
yeah.
It was a bit of match fitness and everything, but he's working on it. And yeah, for me, he's John's gone early with player of the season. Oh, John.
I think it suits him to play it suits him to play like the attacking football. He's like a bit like a baby Johnson, isn't he? Rather than like I think he was under Cisco, because we were so poor, he was doing more defending. And I don't know if that's necessarily where he's best. In the game, the most recent game, the Bristol City game, his attacking was definitely his forte rather than the other bit.
Yeah, he's more like a Spanish Jack Hunt, isn't he?
100%.
He's good at going forward, but you don't necessarily extend to being at the back, yeah. But yeah, he's got to be the most improved player in our ranks right now, Paul Valentin.
Definitely.
When he sets off on those runs. Sometimes I wish he'd put his head up a little bit more, because he sets off on these runs and his head's down, and you're like, he's got some good pace, actually, more than I realised. And sometimes you just wanted to look up a bit more. But no, he was great on Saturday, absolutely.
I think that partnership with Palmer and Valentin on that right-hand side, I think that could be, because over the last couple of games, that's looked pretty good. It might be something that, like you said, with Palmer being a lot more defensive mind, that gives Valentin the chance to be the right side of Johnson, if that makes sense. and the way we want to play. Instead of being on the left, we've got Johnson, who loves the attacking. On the right, we were a bit more reserved. Well, now we've got both wing backs, if you want to call them, that do like to get forward, and it looks like it is.
When you look at the past couple of past five games, everything comes down our left hand side, because no one wants to come down our right hand side, because balancing's so quick, and then Palmer, when he plays the right hand side of a three, is so disciplined. So yeah, it's like the target in the left hand side, because Johnson's not as quick as Valentin. I meant Johnson does bomb forward, because he does. He's not as quick to get back.
He's not, but we'll talk about it. But then you've got Bernard on that left hand side, aren't you? That is
crazy, Bernard.
It's pretty good.
Swiping at people.
we'll get to that. So obviously we're going in second half. Come out second half, sorry, 2-1 up. I mean, we'll talk about the yellow card. What did you make to that, John? What did you think? To obviously Bernard got a yellow card earlier on, but for the second, it was a yellow card. It was just the fact that it must have gone 5 minutes, and then they had a shot, they had a chance, then the ball went out of play, and then obviously he booked him and sent him off.
It were almost comical, because I said it in chat earlier, but it did remind me of the old FIFA game where you could run away from the ref so he couldn't book you. And it was like, you know, I just didn't want the ball to go out of play, because I knew as soon as the ball went out of play, there's a stoppage. Bernard was getting sent off, because it were a nailed-on yellow card, which means that, you know, he's going to go because he's already been booked. But he's committed. Deschamps was, you know, he's fighting for the cause like everybody else. It's going to be a lot. It's going to be a loss, but I think it's only one game, I believe.
Yeah.
Which, you know, so there's some upside to it. I mean, I think John Pearson on the Wednesday commentary thought the first foul was a red card.
I thought it was at first viewing.
He thought it was. He walked away from the ref to like the other side, so I think he thought it were a red as well. You know,
the pullback.
Luckily he Ekwe steps inside. And it sort of saves his life, doesn't it, really? Because
I don't recall them kicking up a fuss too much. One or two players on pitch were asking ref for, you know, getting in his ear and saying, "Hey, come on, was that not a last man situation?" But I don't recall their manager and that, you know, coming out in his technical area, people like saying anything after the game. But yeah, I think the first one was, some people thought, was there a question there about whether he was the last man or not. So
fortunately,
he didn't go off at that point.
Yeah. Nat says, would it have been a blue one? He'd go yellow.
The scoreboard still had it as yellow, so I would have just kept him on.
Well, it weren't red, was it? Did you see the scoreboard? It weren't working other week, and that red. Well, I mean, there's no shame in not having a red on a Wednesday thing, is there? But yeah, it came up with an orangey colour?
Yeah,
orangey colour.
I was going to say something stupid, but I'm going to say ever since we used to concede that me on the 70th minute all the time, and ever since that scoreboard's been crap, and you can't tell what time it is. We haven't lost. We haven't conceded in the 70th minute. It's all part of the master plan, isn't it?
Go on, Holly. What was you going to say?
There's been a lot of appreciation for that ref. We've never had him before. I checked just before coming on. Did some research. Check me out. Never had him before. He's called Thomas Kirk. I've written it down. Yeah, but apparently, we've never had him. But he was really good. I know we got someone sent off, but it was really good. There was a few times in the game where something happened and I thought, ooh, but he didn't give it. Like, that, it's not really a foul, but it gets given and it sort of ruins it a bit. And a few times players stayed on floor for both teams, like, that had normally be given and it won. And that's right, really. It was quite good.
He did want the play to continue. He did want the game to go on. And I did notice that myself. I thought, and you're right, Holly. We're first, all of us, and first to everyone in the media and podcasts and mates in the pub, always going about the ref, don't we? Every time. And we've had it many times this season, too many, really. But it's a fair shout to give the ref props for actually letting the game play. And like you say, even though he sent one of our players off, I don't think I didn't hear
no complaints. That second no. yellow, no complaints for that. No. Jesus,
no. I think it was more that I think someone's put it in the chat. Yeah, I think it was more that people thought he was getting subbed because I think like
that much time had gone by for playing advantage. Yeah. You kind of forgot you did the tackle. That's what happened to me.
But I think Danny. Sorry, Blair. I think Danny.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
We all know away days are mint, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. Same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now with the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. For more information, see mcdonalds.com. See you later.
They were all new because Diaby was the one that was warming up. He got his stuff off, stripped off, ready. And it looked like he was the one that was going to be subbed on already for, and I think Masaba came off for it. But then obviously Diaby goes on, board goes up, Masaba off, and then Bernard's walking off and everyone's like, what's happening? He's gone. And then it come up on the scoreboard, like, orange card. I'm like, oh, what the hell's that?
It's like, can we get him off at pitch before he notices that he's going to send him off? Get him off quick, like, shuffle him off. Like, but no, unfortunately, he had to take his medicine on that one, didn't he?
John said, to be fair, Pearson also didn't know he was sent off, thought he was being subbed.
Yeah,
they were all of us. We should have just ignored it and just carried on.
that would have been great.
When Jeremy Lannert got sent off instead of Mikhail Antonio once, he got like
a few seasons
back, weren't it? That was quite funny. But
that one at Newcastle. Someone at Newcastle happened at Newcastle as well, didn't it? I can't remember.
Yeah.
So obviously. Sorry, Holly, go on. I was just going to say
another thing that happened in that second half. The guy behind me, his little kid needed a wee, and he said, no, you went in first half and we conceded, so you're going to have to hold it till end of game. And he made him not wee. Oh. It worked.
That's it. No. I'm all up for all that sort of shenanigans, the stupid,
superstitions.
Stuff. Yeah. That's it. There we are. Bernard second yellow, the definition of Polak's. From Mr. J, I don't think anyone, I said, don't think anyone had any complaints about it. It was just a bit long that it took for the ref obviously to stop play because he played on it, had to go dead the ball. So it was just a bit. We got Wickham on. Good evening, all. Evening.
Can I also have a word of appreciation for that bit of skill that Pavida did in front of like the bench? You know, sometimes when someone does a skill and crowd goes, ooh, everybody in the crowd sort of went, oh, at the same time for that one. That were a bit of a naughty type of skill.
Masaba did one in exact same position earlier on in the season, one of his first games, and it was one of them that you go, ooh, we got a player here. Yeah. And then Pervader's done it, but I work with a couple of Leeds United fans in my little office, and I just think, why? What, you have got some sort of team if he's sixth choice in your team to get loaned out?
It's hard.
It's criminal. For no wonder is Pervader's smiling. Looks like he's loving playing football.
Don't tell him, Ash. Don't tell him he's any good.
Yeah, he's bloody rubbish. His contract's up in the summer as well, but obviously that's just going to be, for me, just a pipe dream, isn't it?
Because we've fallen for Aloney again, haven't we?
Yeah. As Twitter always says, when a lone player does something good, don't ever fall in love with a Aloney.
Here's a question then. You can only have one of them, Pervader or Ugbo, at the end of the season. Oh. Budget's there, you can only afford one.
Are we in League One or are we in the Championship?
Oh, we've stayed up, mate. We've finished 15th. We've finished 15th, mate. We've won next 10 games.
For me, Pervader. For me,
Pervader. Yeah, I mean, Pervader's got that Forestier.
His ceiling's higher, isn't it, than a Bo? So,
Holly?
I
mean,
yeah. I really, 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 really love Pervader. I love everything about him.
I'd say his little
cute smile is just the most adorable thing ever. But those games that we lost at the start of the season, we lost because we didn't have a striker. We still put balls in the box, whether we've got Pervader or not, but we don't put them in the net if we haven't got Ugbo. So I'm going to go for Ugbo.
Leeds friend of mine absolutely loves him, but he's never been given a chance. That's Pervader.
I think that obviously just says a lot about how different the bottom is to the top, doesn't it? That they actually are that much better than us, that they don't need him.
Liam's gone for Pervader all day long. What does anyone else reckon in the comments? Let us know. Pervader or Ugbo in the championship. So that's Blair's question. I've done a question of the day today, Blair. But I could have saved that for tomorrow.
Yeah. We'll use that one. But Liam Palmer had a bit of techers and all on Saturday as well.
He did a bit of skill. I was rolled thinking, oh, here we go. Stevie's going to cream
just for Stevie's sake, you know.
No, Stevie was gutted. Oh, that's all I've thought about Saturday. Having a day out with the family at Harry Potter World, he was, I believe. So, he missed a great win.
He had a magic time, mate.
It was a lovely Blair. Get it in. Well done. Well done. Anyway, John's gone with Ugbo will get 20 next season. Oh.
Yeah, for Norwich, isn't it?
For Norwich.
For League One.
That's harsh, that is it. So, obviously, yes, a 2-1 win for Sheffield Wednesday against Bristol City, as you've just heard by us, all the gang. So, we'll move on. We'll move on. So, we've covered it. I was going to go on about Pervader and Ugbo and all this, but we've covered it in all the games. So, I mentioned it earlier, but I said, Ugbo is the top scorer in January signing. And I think he will be. I think Stevie mentioned on the pod last week, I think he made a bold claim that he'll get double 10 figures. Goals,
yeah,
get double figures. And I think there was quite a lot of people going, oof, yeah, but he's scored another brace. So do you think he is the strike? It's a stupid question because at the minute it looks like, but he does look like the striker that we wanted or needed. Do you feel that?
Go on. I was going to say, it's weird because, same with Pervader and Ugbo, sort of similar situations. Cardiff fans weren't having Ugbo because he didn't fit into their system. He probably weren't wanted. Is this filling into that category of player where he's gone to a squad, even though I can't believe, because Cardiff, I thought Cardiff was shite.
He scored four in 20 for Cardiff. So he weren't playing. I don't know how many of them were subs and stuff. So
Yeah, he might
be. Bit harsh, but yeah, four.
And same with Pervader. It's weird how sometimes some players just fit for certain clubs and certain management styles. And he's come to us. We've clearly, it's weird because we were slagging off the recruitment guys in the summer and in January about we haven't got any plan and Chancey, we don't know what he's doing, all this sort of stuff. But it looks like the data boffins have probably been in there and said look, if you get the balls in these sort of areas, this guy will do it. And it's proven right. Same with Pervader. I mean, Pervader was a panic buy signing, apparently, to a lot of people on the transfer window deadline day. And now we're begging for him to sign forever. Please stay, never leave, ever.
What's he played? 5 games, I think, is it now?
Yeah, he's just he's everyone loves him more than anything. And
it's football fans, isn't it?
But that's why we love football, because we're always on the end of our emotions. Nothing's measured. It's always one side or the other, isn't it?
It's the thing with loan players is it's like them holiday romances, isn't it? They're absolutely great while they last, but you know that realistically it's difficult to continue, isn't it, when you get back off at playing in Manchester Airport.
I think also it's just good to see some. Obviously, both of them, Ugbo and Pervader, it wasn't working out from wherever they were before. It's just good to see them wanting to wear the shirt. They obviously weren't associated with all that crap at the start, so they obviously are actually both of them really, really loving every minute that they get on the pitch. And I think, I am one of those people that shouts shoot at any point when they're. Where I sit, if we're shooting towards the away end, I shout shoot at any point when they're over the halfway line. And then if it's in front of me, anything around the box, I shout shoot. But at the start of the season, we had people getting into good positions and it nothing would have made them shoot. They just couldn't do it. They didn't want to do it. Whereas Ogbo will shoot at all times. And even though he scored two, he had a few other chances that sort of nearly were as well.
Yeah, I saw a bit of a like a thing. A TW Football on Twitter does all the stats and really analyzes the game. And I think he put something out before the game at Bristol, saying that they were weak against dribbling into the area. Bristol City, more games, goals they've conceded are people dribbling in and doing it that way rather than crosses. And it was just the fact that obviously we scored from a cross and the other one was like an instinctive head. So it was like, I'm all good, all right for people saying about stats and how people, it's football. You just can't legislate. It's all right saying about how people play and set up. And I just think that Pervader, the way he plays, and Ogbo, with that instinct, I just think both of them have been a cracking... I'm going to say it. I think January was a cracking bit of business.
Unbelievable, mate. Beadle's got as many clean sheets as Dawson has all season.
Oh, come on. We've gone a few weeks without the Dawson bait in here. Come on. Dan's not even on. it's been a... right. So coming up, we've got a fair few games that... they're all six-pointers, aren't they? But we've got a certain fixture coming up on Saturday that we're going to talk about in a bit. But first we do... Blair, have you got something to say? We haven't got an agenda as such, but...
It's not a rant. It's just more like we've got two protests.
You requested to say something tonight, didn't you?
We're double skying next
week. Popcorn emoji.
We're double skying next week. Next week, aren't we? We're on Sky twice, Plymouth and Leeds. And I believe there's two protests coming because I want to get maximum exposure. Fair play to them. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what they've got planned. I just don't want anything to interrupt this run, what they're going on, what these players are doing at the moment, because they are fighting for their life, fighting for this shirt. And you can slag off the chairman all you want. And I even went on the telly and said, like, I believe he can't turn this around because I don't believe his attitude can change because he always calls out the fans. Like, they're my own words. But it is one of those things. It's like, but when you do, you've got to go down the middle and you have to debate it properly, pros and cons, and everyone said he wanted change in that. And you think, if you look at it now, everything is done since that stupid fucking HMRC thing. Oh, everyone put a tenner in and we could pay £100 in, whatever. We can pay it off. You know, he's sacked that absolute shower of shit. He's hired a great manager. He's got a great backroom staff in. And Sasha Lenz, by the way, he might have been huge, and he's been making the rounds in the news recently because he's Timo Werner's stepdad. And he's a psychologist, isn't he? So that's all about mentality and that sort of shit. Yeah. And the team's looking well mentally, aren't they? Do you know, this head of recruitment guy who even I was thinking, like, what's this guy doing in January? But it turns out knows what he's doing. Like, because he's signed a striker who's now got is an in-form striker, and if you have an in-form striker, you're not going down. And we've got a keeper who's got more clean sheets than as many clean sheets as the keeper we had cut in the first half of the season. So maybe he does know what he's doing, his head of recruitment guy. And we've heard nothing from the chairman. We've had no stupid statements. So maybe he is changing. I don't know. But let's just not interrupt the pitch, because they are fighting for their lives. And I just want Wednesday to stay up. And then if he sells and somebody sells, I don't care. But what made me laugh earlier is about how someone said, I am never buying a season ticket again or going again while Chance is still at the club. And it's like, yeah, but Danny Rawls is quite a special manager. And what if he has another good summer transfer window? I mean, we could go, oh, could we get the playoffs? Who knows? Don't say something ludicrous. And don't
put your nose after spite your face.
Yeah, and like, and sometimes just take a break off social media and just go, right, it's just a game. It's just a game, lads.
Oh, we can't go with just a game, man. Can't go with that. I mean, I I'm honestly, I don't follow the 1867 that much. I know what they're doing, and I think they have come out and said that they are all about the regime, not the team, and whatever plans they have for their Leeds and I think Plymouth game as well, that it will be all about before the whistle, when the whistle goes, that's it. They'll be fully behind the team, and hopefully nothing goes on to upset her, because I would imagine 99.99999% of Wednesday fans are all about the team and the 3 points, and whatever's going off at the pitch, off the pitch, I say, between 3 o'clock and 10 to 5, it's all about them 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, however many players that are in blue and white. So, I'm sure they won't be. I'm sure we are, but like as people in the comments have put, that protests are protests, isn't it? You don't just stop one when these three points are coming, so...
Well, that's the thing. We don't want to become like the Championship Man United, where every time Man United lose, it's the fucking Glazers' fault.
Yeah, of course.
And just because we start losing again, suddenly the Chan Siri out mob start coming out. It's just a bit like I know there is stuff you can moan about, ticket prices and no credit wants to touch and that. And that is right, but Middlesbrough's ticket prices are quite expensive, aren't they?
I do get why the guys and girls are protesting. I do, and I know what, and I get why they're doing it at Sky TV matches. But I think it should be every match, and I know that's probably a logistical nightmare for them, for whatever they've got planned to do it every match from now until then. But I think it's right. Some people in the comments have put that it's not just one-off games. Then you should do it all the time. And if you're going to protest, but.
Danny Rowe was walking for a week, wasn't he? He had bad body language. That's what people were saying. Look at his body language.
Well, it's like anything, isn't it? If you protest, it's because you've absolutely had enough and you want a change. It's like them people that protested about fracking. They're not just going to not turn up because they stopped drilling for one day, are they? You know what I mean? So
it's true. So, right, you got that off your chest, Blair. You enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Well, we'll... Sorry, I just read something then. Just put me off then. So we've got Rotherham on Saturday. Holly, Rotherham games. I know you have been to one or two Rotherham, not derbies, because I know on Twitter, Rotherham fans are going to go, oh, Chef Wednesday fans, it's not a derby. It's not this, it's not that. What do you feel about a Rotherham game? How do you feel? And I know it's a strange one because of the position we're in. We're obviously second bottom, fighting for 3 points. They are... I'm going to say done, because I think they are. I think they're 12 points off relegation, and they haven't got nowhere near the sort of squad and manager that we've got to crawl that back. So what do you think to a Rotherham game away as well?
So Rotherham are the first football team to make me cry. Obviously, Wednesday have done it loads of times since then, but Rotherham were the first ever team.
Richie Barker, by any chance?
It was, yes.
Yeah. How was you?
That was absolutely the worst thing that's ever happened, ever. And it I don't like them for that reason, separately to any kind of local rivalries, because I'm obviously not from South Yorkshire, so that doesn't affect me like it affects Blair. but I also, for that reason, sort of, always class them as a bit of a banana skin team. I'm not that optimistic. But then again, when you look at the table, surely... Oh, there you go. Paul agrees with you. Surely, the season where they got the record for being the worst, they're not even on that many points that they had for that yet. So you do sort of think, surely. And the game, when we played them earlier this season, it were a little bit like when you're playing FIFA on the tutorial, because they weren't even really trying to get the ball off of us. It wasn't really like the time we played them before that was really feisty and quite good. I don't even think that they've got the feistiness this season that they normally have. But then again, if any Rotherham fans are listening, that's just one of them where they go, oh, well, you say that now, but wait, and then it all goes to
They fucking hate us. Like, they really hate us. They want to win this match more than any match in their calendar. They hate Wednesday. If they can make Wednesday go down by a little bit, by like 10% by beating us on Saturday, they will want to do that. It's not an easy game at all. And no one tonks Rotherham. Like, Rotherham lose by one goal. Like, they don't get beat 4-5.
Like us.
They don't fall apart like Wednesday do when they concede. Like, they are, it's going to be, so don't expect like we're going to smash them. It will be, if you do win, it will be by one goal and it won't be pretty.
It'll be interesting if they score first. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, my neighbour who always wears Rotherham shirt no matter what. It's probably wearing one now. If I look through the window, I messaged him today, said honest thoughts about Saturday, and he said, "You win, I disappear till August. We may go one up, and then you we sit back, concede three." That was his honest opinion.
I agree with what you're saying. Respectfully, we are the biggest game for Rotherham. That's not Wednesday being, you know, brash or anything like that. As fans, we are their biggest game because we're the biggest club in the region. Have that, Pigs. Yes, it's going to be one of those games where I said it in a couple of pods back, they're already gone for me. If they can pull us down with us, then they will do that happily, and it'll make their season to see us come down with them. Such as their, you know, dislike for us. So it's not going to be a particularly pretty game. Having said that, you know, watch us go actually have the best performance there in years and go and win 3-0, you know, because performances and results under Danny Rule, it wouldn't shock you, would it? You know, the way that we are right now, the way he's got us playing and stuff. But I did hear as well that they've had a problem with their training ground that got flooded, so they've been training. They've had like two
all season where they've been playing.
Well, it makes you wonder, doesn't it? But half of the team's trained at one venue and half of the team's trained at another. There's quite a bit of disarray behind the scenes, apparently. Obviously, you could well understand that looking at where they are in the league and the points total, like Holly mentioned earlier. So, but you know, if there's one last, you know, hurrah for them, it'll be to try and do us, won't it, on Saturday? So we've got to be good there and do the business.
Scott's 24th, but we have a better record away to Rotherham than we have at home.
Yeah.
And we beat them 2-0 earlier, so hopefully...
It's like coming to Wembley for them, isn't it, when they come to Hillsborough, so...
Yeah. We've got Smashing Tom. Rotherham are far better at home. They're just toothless. If they get one or two, I think we will lose.
What's our high? Well, how many have we? What's our most that we've scored in a game this season? Have we haven't hammered anyone?
Three.
Hull City at home.
Oh, yeah,
home.
I think in league it was, wasn't it? Yeah.
I don't think. I think
Cardiff
Inc.
Cup, maybe.
Cardiff are four, isn't it? Cardiff, but
yeah, Cardiff Inc. Cup. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I think it was four. Yeah.
Liam's pretty bullish. 4-1 piece of piss. They can't live with us at the moment. Hey, I like that. I like it. Well, it's got to be honest. It's a game we've got to win.
And... No, we've got to win. If we don't beat these, everyone's beat these. If we don't beat these.
Obviously, we know what happened on Saturday. We saw the other results. There was six of the bottom eight teams won.
Yeah, QPR so and Leicester on Saturday.
Stoke and Rotherham. Well, this is what I was thinking. The other teams have got... Leeds have got Huddersfield have got Leeds. Sorry, they're at home, and then QPR have got Leicester.
But my father-in-law would say, in respect to Rotherham, he'd say the Jew one. They can't lose them all, can they?
Yeah.
Wow. Can it be Jew one in 2 weeks?
Yeah.
From the last comment, and then someone's put Rotherham toothless as a team. Are we talking about the fans?
Thing is, some of those teams at the top are now doing what we did last season and they're having a Forest Green moment and losing to all crap teams. And we've already played them, so we can't have that.
Yeah, I know. Southampton.
Southampton. At home.
You mentioned Forest Green there. That's exactly the feel it has, isn't it? Even though we're not at the top of the table, we're going to the worst side in the league. Mm, we're all but down and we know we've got to go there and win.
Good point, John.
And it does have that feel about it, doesn't it? Yeah.
If we start like we did in that Huddersfield game where everybody's just shitting themselves, I think that was the downfall of it. Like, everyone was panicking that much.
If we'd have got the first goal in Huddersfield, we'd have won that game.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
and we could have beat them 4-0. They could have crumbled like we did, but...
I maintain that. Apart from, obviously, the 12 minutes or whatever it was at Huddersfield was abysmal.
It was stupid. Why Will Volks was on the bench after... clearly, after seeing what he's been doing the past five games. You know what I mean? He should have been on.
But part of the thing what Rules had the players doing is... he had them doing an intense training session with playing versus them, you know, two teams from Wednesday playing each other, and apparently it's had a good effect. And after that Huddersfield game, he got them all in a room, and they all, like, I don't know whether he gave them an absolute bollocking or he put another, you know, instructional video on or whatever it was, but whatever he did, both in the, you know, in the classroom environment and then on the pitch, has actually galvanized them. And propelled them into this form that they're in at the minute. So,
rage room.
I think
three wins from four after that Huddersfield game. You would have never in a million years said that was going to happen.
No.
Eight wins in 16 as well. So,
I think it says a lot more about me than thing that I think I'd pay to have Danny Rule shout at me and give me a rollicking. I think I'd enjoy that.
That's a special part of the internet that you've gone on to.
Yeah. I don't think Mrs. Rogers would like that. I'm glad she doesn't listen to this, because I don't think Mrs. Rogers would enjoy that one. So I'm going to go prediction time for Rotherham. Obviously, we're all going to say 5-0, but a bit of head and heart and all that sort of thing gone. I'm going to go alphabetically. So, John, you're first.
Damn. Yeah, despite what I said earlier, I think it will be an awful game. I'm going for a scrappy 1-0 Wednesday, and I'll take it and be happy all day long with it.
Yeah. Blair?
Yeah, 2-1 Wednesday. I do think Rotherham will go ahead. Twitter will have an absolute meltdown, and Wednesday will win.
Matthew Moore's gone 3-0 Wednesday. Danny will have a plan.
Let's hope so.
Yeah. Plan it, Holly.
Holly, what do you...
I think it'll be 1-0. Dominic Iorfa came back in the last game. He's going to go on a mazy run and blam it in.
Never gives the ball away, Holly. Never.
Exactly.
Scotch 24 has gone 2-1 Wednesday. Wickham has gone 2-1 Wednesday as well. 1-0 Wednesday from Mad Ward. Oh, like smashing Tom's gone big. Oh, Patrick.
Bowen.
That sounds a bit stressful. 3-2.
3-2. I've got. I should have starred this one, but it was. I should have found it, but there was one said something about where we're sitting in the home end. I'm sure they'll Wednesday fans will.
I'm tempted to go.
If anyone,
I know a lot of Rotherham fans. I'll just camouflage alone.
Are you just on this podcast? You are hawking out for a ticket, Holly. Did you just say if anyone's got a spare ticket? Look at that.
I have got FOMO from last week. Still, I can't cope with it again.
I have FOMO from Millwall. I'm going.
You got a ticket.
Yeah, I've got tickets.
You must have a lot of points.
You know, when
I've got a lot of points. That's Forest Green and Plymouth and all them sorts of places for you.
Yeah. When we play Rotherham away, do the Rotherham Owls still take a coach?
That's the question of the day tomorrow from the socials, that, John. Thanks for that. I'll use that one. I'm going to go for a 2-0 win Wednesday. 2-0 win Wednesday. So that's the Rotherham preview. Obviously, there will be a Hello from the Other Side coming out with one of the guys from the Rotherham podcast with one of our good selves. So that'll be out this sometime this week for more in-depth analysis. So has anyone got any other business?
Yes. So you haven't mentioned the egg drop that we did, Ash, because you're too modest to mention that you started all that. and you set the ball rolling and it went absolutely fantastic.
That was part of any other business, Holly, actually.
Well,
it was on the agenda.
Go on then.
If you watch. I'll say it. Thank you, Holly. As a lot of people saw on Saturday by the donations that we did our first Easter egg drop for the Children's Hospital and PACT Children's Charities. I put out on Twitter, blown away. I've got to say, it made an old fat man cry, you did Saturday night, and that wasn't the beer. I've got to say, fantastic. We're all there. We had the Easter Bunny and Easter Bear.
Easter Bear, yeah.
Easter Bear. John's asked, who was the rather fetching bunny? John, it was a 15-year-old boy, but hello, that's okay.
John's cancelled. Been off social media.
It was fantastic. Blessed with great weather and everyone that we met, listeners and not even listeners, just people who wanted to donate. It was great.
It was really good.
The kids loved it. Some of the, I'll start crying and stuff. You don't want to see that, but some of the kids' reactions to the Easter Bunny and the Easter Bear was fantastic. And each and every one of you, whoever donated, from the bottom of my heart, it was fantastic. Thank you very much. And we'll see you at Plymouth and Leeds because we've got a target now. I've got a target in my head. I'm not going to share it, but...
What time do you stall open on the Plymouth game?
Well, the Plymouth game, I'll be there from about 5:30, I believe. Something like that. But yeah, it was great. But yeah,
so well done to you, Ash, for starting that whole thing and being the behind the scenes guy and getting it all organized. And then we all just turned up, but that's all you, the rest of it. And for storing all the eggs without eating them, which is the main thing, really.
They're safe, don't worry. I know I don't look like a guy who's can control himself around chocolate, but it's all right. Sorry, John, what was you going to say?
Just very quickly, there were some very weird and wonderful eggs donated, weren't they? There were dinosaur eggs. There were all sorts of different brands and concoctions, weren't they? It were awesome, really, to see everybody.
Kids loved fruit it. Pastels egg all about.
Yeah, Skittles fruit pastels. We had Milky Bar. We had egg free one. Eggs, egg free. Chocolate free, dairy free, egg free eggs. Yeah, but all that. But yeah, thank you again. And like I said, you see it on our socials. We'll bug you with it all. But it's going really well. Thank you, everyone. And there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be in the draw for a shirt. So home or away Wednesday shirt. So that's that done with. That's the little bit.
And also, 1,000 eggs is the target, isn't it, Ash? 1,000 eggs.
Is it a shirt? That's the target. John, I was going to say, Ash, is it a shirt with ale or is it a shirt with Sirita?
It will be whatever's available in the shop at the time of finishing. And
it's League 1-1.
Cheers, Liam. Thank you very much for the kind words. It's been great, really good. Also, that we have got going as well, we've got our last man standing that you can join as well. So if you're into a bit of picking a team who's going to lose and go out in the first week, like I probably will do, then check out our social medias because that's there. That is also...
How many entries have you got for that so far?
I think we're up to 20. We're up to 20 entries. So that's £200. So that's £140 for the winner and £60 for our community fund that we're raising money for. So,
does anyone else with the last man standing? This is because I've supported Wednesday all this time.
Should it be last person standing? Sorry, I need to clear that with you.
Last player
not really, because I always go out straight away. So it's not better than me. Because I've supported Wednesday all this time, I've got a bit of an underdog complex, and I could go for Man City, but what if Luton are due one? Or what if Rotherham actually are going to do it? And I just pick, like, the crap teams, and I can't help it. Does anyone else, or is everyone else, like, a proper professional at it?
Nope. Never done one in my life. It's all this one. I know you said about me. This one is all Stevie Spencer's idea. This one, so anyone can argue with her.
I know. At least he's managing it. Fuck that.
If you'd have started it a couple of weeks earlier, I'd have picked Southampton to beat Millwall. So that'd have been me gone straight away.
Underdogs. Go for it.
Exactly. So
Millwall were due one.
They were.
Everything's all over our social media, everything. So thank you very much for joining us tonight. We've done over an hour. Dan Fudge will be doing his nutting. It's been a pleasure, as always. But thanks, guys, for joining us. And we'll see you next week.
See you later.
Bye.
Wake me up before you're up, Beau.
It's the 90th minute. You've got all your mates round. You've got your McNugget share boxes coming down the left wing, ready to go. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Back of the net, Lubosch. Automatic delivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com for more information. See you later.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.